couple quick announcements. We have a change in program. The new programs are on the table in the corner back there. Brother Jerry Anderson is very sick and was not able to make it. And Brother Ed Bush has graciously agreed to fill in. Please do not close the windows in the back. Leave them open. If you're cold, move forward. And if you have a cell phone, either put it on silent or turn it off. We don't want any cell phones ringing in the meeting. Then there was one other thing I was supposed to say, but I can't remember what it is. I'll probably catch it next time. With that, we'll get Brother Robert up here with the address of welcome. Lord bless you, Brother Robert.
Good afternoon, my dear brethren. It's good to see all of your smiling faces and all familiar faces. We're a little body of these feet members down at this edge of the age, aren't we? And so we more and more appreciate each one of you individually. So please accept our warm Christian welcome to this North Seattle Bible Students Convention on this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of March 23 through 25, 2001, in the name of our returned and reigning Lord. Hopefully that'll help out the recordings a little bit. And we look forward to greeting each of you, dear ones, individually, and to sharing your experiences and to sharing points of truth with each of you. As we know, a convention is made up of its participants, and we are pleased and find joy in your presence with us. We rejoice in the table prepared for us by the brethren involved in the convention to follow. We know that the Lord has run before them, that he has influenced their thoughts and preparations and minds, so that we might receive what we have need of. As this time of year leading up to the memorial of our Lord's sacrifice and recalling the events of the past year, we believe it is important to consider those that have run before us and are no longer with us here. Their work is being continued beyond the veil. You know, when you have only a few minutes to speak, you kind of just say what's been on your mind recently. So that's the nature of my comments in this address. We recall these brethren with fondness, their examples, and we notice that they were true believers. True believers. You know, in every company, organization, and government agency, etc., there are always those who are completely dedicated to the cause that they believe in and represent. They are true believers. And amongst the Bible student movement, we have been blessed to be associated with many of these. And their examples have had a positive, yes, indeed, a permanent impact upon our own walks. Read in 1 Timothy 4:12, the apostle speaking to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And as 1 Timothy 1:5, "Now the end of the commandment is love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned." Yes, these were examples of the believers, and they were overcomers. 1 John 5:4 we read, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And in Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now we observe some of the characteristics that these true believers possess. These are singleness of purpose, dedication to personal study, assistance to the household of faith, and this would be particularly in those small little daily ways that seem to be insignificant but are such a cumulative benefit to our brethren. Watchfulness, obedience to, and the passion to know the mind of God. And the list, of course, goes on. Now certainly our Lord was our primary example. He was the author and finisher of our faith. At this season, of course, we remember him especially. He is the one we are endeavoring to become the mind and character copy of, and we must give him a preeminent picture. Perhaps then the apostles are next, and then the messenger of the churches down through the age are important. And let us not forget that we have been personally associated with these that have developed these characteristics also, those that we share common joy and suffering with, in this area of the country and probably in other areas of the country also. We were able to rejoice as these little ones, these sons of God, finished their course this year, and we believe faithfully. Can they be replaced? Of course not. They were selected, and they were specially placed in the body of Christ, the living temple, by our Heavenly Father Himself, according to His pleasure. We miss them, but we recall that certain sound that they presented to us, and we trust by the Lord's grace that we might embrace their examples. And indeed, we have examples amongst us today. We know and love and appreciate. 1 John 3:14-16, we read, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Now, for those of us that remain, that's a time-sensitive statement, isn't it? You find it in 1 Thessalonians 4. Special class. Those that remain. Feet members left doing part of the Lord's work this side of the veil when we believe most of the body is already doing the work on the other side of the veil. But we have a special privilege here of declaring God's plan to the believers. And at this end of the age, there is a time-specific message to share. We are instructed in Isaiah 52:78, I think we all know this scripture well, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good," good tidings of good twice, "that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." The message is to Zion, that thy God reigneth. "Now thy watchmen," those that are watching, those that are attentive, "shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." Now, if we look at various different translations, and I'm sure that you have, the way that this really reads is, "eye to eye they shall see the return of the Lord to Zion." This is the point, the Lord's presence and return, that the watchers will see eye to eye on. And we rejoice that we are able to declare that to one another. You know, brethren, for a long time I used the expression "preparation for the kingdom" when I was in fellowship and conversation about current events. I kind of realize now that is somewhat of an accuracy in that statement, in expressing the results of our Lord's presence in that particular way. It might be better be said that we observe the kingdom in process, because it's not that what's really happening. We observe the kingdom in process, and we rejoice as we see these things come to pass. Perhaps this is a more positive and faith-strengthening statement. So how do we accurately observe the events at this end of the age? In 1 Corinthians 2:14-16 and Romans 12:2, we are instructed that we are to observe the things that are coming at this end of the age through the use of the perfect will and mind of God, and that we are to obtain that through His influence, through His Holy Spirit. And we have every reason and opportunity to observe the kingdom in process. In everything we reserve, read, and do, all the time watching, it is clear that our Heavenly Father, through our reigning Lord and the risen saints beyond the veil, are accelerating the kingdom in process to the full and complete mediatorial phase of the kingdom. Yes, the seventh trump has sounded, and our King surely knows no defeat. Our Lord is in control of what events of His reign are accomplished before the mediatory phase of His reign and after, when we see the ancient worthies resurrected and the law going forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We see several broad elements of this preparation, which we would expect during this overlapping period of the two ages. The gospel age is culminating and the millennial age is accelerating. We see that during this harvest, which is the end of the age. Because the gospel age is culminating, we do see many of our faithful brethren completing their course. And we observe a slower turning over of crowns with fewer new members of His body. Concurrently, we see social, political, financial, ecclesiastical elements of this present order poised for their complete destruction. We observe, brethren, how this is now only held back by the Lord, and that there are some features to complete before that appointed time, and please fill in the blanks. So in wrapping up, we know that because there's this bright shining of this day star rising that we sang in our hymn to open, This bright shining of his presence referenced in Matthew 24:27, that there is an acceleration of knowledge. There is an acceleration of the kingdom in process. There is an acceleration of destructive forces. There is an acceleration of restitution blessings, which have resulted in the agricultural revolution, the industrial revolution, and now the technology revolution. I was going to speak more about the technology revolution, but I don't have time. We'll expand on that at the break. Brethren, we have an unspeakable gift. We have a down payment on immortality. Each of us has that. We know that if we would but let the Lord do with us according to his will, that we would be faithful. That he would not take us out of this course. We would have to do that ourselves. He is so generous. We look forward with you to singing songs of everlasting joy in our Father's kingdom. We look forward to that. So please accept our welcome in his name.